on the Boss Man Show, new head coach. Back is alma mater, Patrick Sellers, Central Connecticut State, the Blue Devils up there out of the NEC Conference. Coach, how you doing, man? Good to talk to you, man.
Doing well. Doing well. Happy to be on the show and looking forward to talking some hoops. And we got these Knicks going down to Atlanta coming soon, so that's going to be interesting.
Let me ask you about that, Coach. I'm shocked that Tom Thibodeau actually made some adjustments finally, even though I still think, Coach, he should put Trae Young in pick and rolls instead of running the same side pick and rolls in the middle pick over Randall and Rose. Make Trae Young guard one of them on switches. Letting him have on Bullock is not going to help you down the road in Atlanta, I don't think, Coach.
Right. You know what? The Knicks look like they got this last couple of games, a lot of reluctant offensive players. Even Randall, like they just got caught up in the atmosphere in the Garden, the pressure of the playoffs. A lot of the guys got reluctant. So D Rose came in and kind of just settled everybody down and like was aggressive. And that made Randall relax in the second half. But you're right. You know, you got to take advantage of Trae a little bit with his size and picking roles and trying to make him defend some, make him work. And everybody was talking about, I mean, Trey's 22 years old. I think he would play 35 minutes. They should up his minutes, but he's probably getting worn down, this, you know, the physicality of the playoffs every night.
Well, Coach, you know, I love Nate McMillan, what he's done over the years, but he's ruining that old school thinking of I don't want to over burn out my guys per se. Look, you can go up 2-0 in the Garden, go with Trae Young and Bogey Bogdanovich and try to go for the kill. Now you let Knicks back in the series now. And the thing about it, this Coach, as I always say, Tibbs is stubborn. So with Tibbs actually make Trae Young guard somebody, he's hiding on the weak side on Bullock. So he's hiding it. Put him in action. Make him, you could beat the Hawks, you put him in action. Simple as that.
They got to play late last night, though, late in the game. Tibbs, they came out of a time when I think it was a pick and roll on the other side. He was guarding Bullock. And Trae fell asleep, and they did a wide pin down, and Bullock got open, and Trae was late, and Carter made a three late. It was a big shot. So, you know, I think that Tibbs is good, man. He's doing a good job at it. He's got these guys playing. Actually, I coached at the high school that Tibbs went to. Mm-hmm. So I know Tibbs really well. So, yeah, man, he's going to get these guys right. You know, he's old school. He's hard-nosed. He wants his team to play like that, and I think it's really helped the Knicks because we've been starving for some basketball in the New York area for a long time. So you got it back a little bit.
Yes, sir. And I'm looking forward to Friday and Sunday here in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to it and seeing the State Farm Arena. Because what happens is, because Coach, you know this, a lot of New Yorkers in Atlanta. So
right, yeah, exactly.
It's gonna be a split crowd. And what happens at Hawks games when the Knicks, the Lakers come to town? It's really not a Hawks home game. It's more of a home game. So I'm hoping there's not too many Knicks fans. I know it's going to be a good number. I'm hoping it's not too many. But looking like it might be a New York-Atlanta split this weekend down here in Atlanta, man.
Split crowd. Yeah, you're right. My brother lives, there's so many transplants in Atlanta, so I know exactly what you're talking. My brother lives down there. He said he goes to games sometimes. He said, man, we got more people cheering for the Lakers than the Hawks, you know. So I understand what you're talking about.
Every time. Now, Coach, tell me this, man. You got this job at alma mater. Tell me how it makes you feel, man, that they came to you wanting to bring this program back to where it used to be, man, when you played there, man, and tackle the NEC, man.
I'm excited, man. You know, I went to school here. And when I was as a player, we weren't very good. We were not very good. We had just went Division I a couple years before I got here. And we were trying to navigate our way through Division I, and like we were back in the days, this is old school. We were independent, and you know, a lot of independent conferences, you just play games all over the place. So we played in Hawaii, California, Texas. We went everywhere to play. And then once we got into a conference, then things started getting kind of stabilized, and that's when the program started changing. And then what happened was there was another alum, Howie Dickerman, who came back here, I want to say mid-90s as the head coach. He was an assistant at UConn. He came back, and that's when things started going in the right direction. He, you know, started off with four freshmen, and they built a culture of hard work and toughness. And those guys, I came in when those guys were juniors and seniors, and that year we were 25-4 at the Player of the Year. And we dominated the league offensively and defensively. We were number one in both categories. It was a lot of fun. We won the championship, went to the NCAA tournament, actually played Iowa. We were a 15 seed. We played Iowa State in the first round, tied the game with 4 minutes to go with the ball. We had a chance to, like, win, steal the game. The fans are going nuts for us. We ended up, we couldn't finish it out. They beat us. But, and then 2 years later, we go and we break the record for the win total in the league. We had 27 wins, 19-game winning streak. Our best player got drafted by the Sacramento Kings. The next year, we have a guy who was, like, freshman of the year, ended up being player of the year. So we had it really, really rolling there. And I ended up leaving and going to UMass and then UConn and coached. You know, they kept going and went to another NCAA tournament a few years later. And then coach retired recently, in the 5-6 years ago, and the program was kind of just falling on hard times. And so, you know, this is a very special place for me. I went to school here. I know everybody here. There's an opportunity to come back. So I'm like, hey, man, if I got a shot, I definitely want to come back and I want to get it where we had it before. So I'm excited about the opportunity.
Now, let me ask you this, man. When did you decide you want to get into coaching? I know you played and kind of got jumped right into it. So at what point in your head did you say, man, this coaching thing might be good for me down the road in my future?
Well, the whole, you know, I love playing, man. I still play. I play 3-on-3 now. I'm in shape. I work out all the time. If I could play for the Lakers right now, you see me in the purple and gold right now. The thing is, you know, once you're not good enough to play anymore, the next best thing is coaching. So I played in Europe for a few years, came back from Europe, and I hurt my knee my second year in Europe. So I had surgery. So I was sitting out that year, and my buddy was coaching high school and said, hey, you want to be my JV coach? Like, yeah, why not? And I started coaching, and I just got the bug. And I, you know, like, if you know you're not going to play at a high level, the next thing is coaching. I started coaching high school and AAU, and I was also part of some good AAU programs. And then we ended up going to, I got the opportunity at Central Connecticut as an assistant coach. And I've been coaching 21 years later, I did a year in China with the pros, but mostly college basketball has been what I've been doing for the last 20 years.
And being in high school roots, AAU roots, for recruiting is going to be good for you because your relations are already built in. Guys know who you are and know his corridor up there. So talk about that, being able to relationships you have built with coaches and programs up there to get guys to come up there and be a Blue Devil, man.
Right. You know, I was, like, again, when I got back from Europe and I started coaching high school, the guy I worked with, Jerry DiGregorio, he's, after leaving coaching, he coached University of Rhode Island as an assistant coach. He became the head coach at Rhode Island. He also became the assistant coach with the Clippers. And then he was on Mark Jackson's staff with the Golden State Warriors. So Jerry's kind of went all over the place. And it all started from our AAU roots because with the high school thing, we were AAU. So Lamar Odom played for us at AAU. And Lamar graduated from the high school that I coached at. So we had Lamar and Gary Charles is the guy who used to coach the New York Panthers. And I was Gary's assistant. And at the time, the New York Panthers probably were one of the best AAU programs in the country. So, you know, Doug Wren, Lamar Odom, Tony Robertson, we had guys going to UConn, Rhode Island, Maryland. We had a really big time roster of guys. And so I met so many people throughout that AAU period. So the guys, and like at that time, ABCD camp was huge. So we would have our guys from New York, Connecticut, Jersey area, Chicago Mean Streets, and Mac Urban Fire would bring their guys from Chicago. T-Mac came, I remember when T-Mac came out of the blue, nobody knew who he was, came from Orlando. So I met so many of the AAU coaches that once I took the step from high school to college, I had so many friends in the AAU community. The recruiting part is never easy, but I had a foot in the door because I knew so many people. So that really helped me out. And then just being all over the country, coaching all over the country, it's kind of opened the door for me to recruit nationally. Mm-hmm. Working at UConn, you know, with those days with Rudy Gay and Kemba Walker and Shabazz Napier and those guys, You know, those guys are East Coast guys, but at UConn, we could go to Texas, we could go to California. Marcus Williams from California, we had Emeka Okafor and Thabeet both came from Texas. We can go down those places and find guys and get guys to come to Connecticut. So I can, I feel confident that I can recruit here nationally, but in this corridor, like you said, this Northeast corridor, there's so many good players. You can just drive within a 6-hour radius and lock up. If you can just lock these guys in that 6-hour radius, you'll be in a good spot. You'll be a really good place. So I'm gonna concentrate on this Northeast, Mid-Atlantic states, the New England states, and try and keep these guys in this area. And if I do have to go out to Chicago or Texas or go to a foreign country, or I will, but I want to try and get that main core from this area of the country.
And coach, what guys need to realize, look at Ja Morant. He could have went to South Carolina and maybe not got any shine. He went to Murray State, got better. Look at him now. So if you come to a school in the NAC, come play for you at Central Connecticut State, they going to find you. You can play. They going to find you if you can play. And you can feel a ball. They got the eyes in the sky. They ain't going to lie. You can play. They're going to find you.
Right, right. The game, and I say this all the time, man, the game in the last 10 years has changed so much with the no-hand checking and the three-point shooting, the way guys shoot threes. So it allows, if you're skilled, IQ, and you can shoot the basketball, you got a shot at the league because they value shooting, spacing, basketball IQ. So you're absolutely right about Ja. You know, Ja was a skinny kid from Sumter, South Carolina. I went to high school in South Carolina. He's a skinny kid from like 20 minutes from where I went to high school. And the guys, one of my buddies was on that staff at Murray State, and they saw him in Carolina, South Carolina, was like, I don't know if he's ready yet, whatever. Murray State took him, and you're right. You know, a couple of years later, boom, he's in the league. At DePaul, when I was at DePaul, we had a kid, Max Strus. Max is on the Miami Heat right now. Max was a Division II guy from Chicago and was putting up crazy numbers at D2. His mom went to DePaul, so he wanted to transfer. We took him as a D2 transfer to DePaul. He goes to the Big East, comes to the Big East, averages 19 a game in the Big East. And Celtics picked him up, played for the Bulls a little bit, and now the Heat just signed him to a multi-year contract. He had 21 points like 3 weeks ago for the Heat. So, I mean, if you can play, like you said, they got guys, the eye in the sky is all over the place. They got guys all over looking for you. So they'll find you. My coach at Fairleigh Dickinson in this league too. And we had a kid at Fairleigh Dickinson, Darnell Edge, who led the country in free throw shooting percentage, 94% from the free throw line. Darnell had a great senior year. We won the conference championship. He has 33 points in the play-in game versus Prairie View on national TV. Reggie Miller did the game. Everybody's talking about it.
I remember that game.
And the Utah Jazz offered him a spot with their summer league team. He goes to Utah Jazz, I told him, I said, Donna, you're not going to play much. Just relax. Get there early. Put the extra work in. Good attitude and watch what happens. And then they offered him a G League spot later on after the summer league. And he ended up taking a pretty good contract in Poland. But, like, it doesn't matter if you're in the NEC or the Big East. You got it. If you can play and you know how to play and you can shoot the basketball, you have a shot.
Tell us about Greg Corenda. He's a good friend of the show, man. He's a real funny guy, very energetic. Tell us about working for Greg Corenda, man. His energy every day. FDU family, as he always is.
Oh, that's my guy right there. One of the best in the business. And Coach Corenda is so crazy. I've known him, I don't know, 25 years. When I was at UConn as an assistant, our associate head coach was George Blaney. Greg was George Blaney's assistant when they were at Seton Hall together. So Coach Render would come up and like do work. He would speak at our camp. He would speak to the campers at our camp. And he always had a passionate speech. Like he was always, like he was sweating. He would do the workout with the guys on the kids on the court. And he was really working at it. Like I was like, this guy is serious about what he does. And so like what you hear, his personality, he's got a great, high energy, this Northeast hardcore New Jersey personality. That's him all the way. And he, the 2 years at FDU, I mean, we got so close. Like, I knew him really well, but we got so close, and we won the championship together. Great time to be together. He has a really good program. I took a lot from him as far as learning how to run a program and work guys out, work on offense and defense. So I'm looking forward to competing against him. But that's my guy. Great man right there.
No doubt. Tell us about the league, man. The league is tough from top to bottom, in my opinion. You know, there's no easy nights in the NEC. People don't see because they're not on ESPN all the time. It's on the digital network, ESPN3, ESPN+. But, man, the ball in your league is tough. Like, from Derek Kellogg and you and all of it, LIU Brooklyn and all that stuff, man. Right. Like, yep. You know, Wagner's tough. All that. Everybody's tough in that league. You know, you can't – it's no easy outs in that league. No night. It's all going to be a but it knocked down, drag out game, no matter what, whoever I play. Exactly. The old school Knicks and Heat series, what it is in that league, man.
There you go, man. That's what it is. Absolutely. And then the thing about, you know, a lot of people, like you said, they don't know the NEC because it's not like we have a national TV contract. But this league is a really athletic, fast, guard-centric league, guys who can score. A lot of Northeast New York kids. You know, Jay Wright used to always say this about the Big East. The old Big East was like all of these kids were from like the New York, Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut area, and they play against each other in the park. And now you put them in an arena with a national TV audience, and you're seeing what the people in the park saw. That's what the NEC is very similar to that. It's hardcore, tough kids, a lot of guard-centric, quick and fast athleticism with some character coaches. Like a lot of the coaches, their teams mimic their personalities. So, you know, Horrenda's a tough guy. So his teams, they play really hard and they're tough. Jared Grosso, he's another Long Island guy, tough guy. His team at Bryant University, his teams are really good. Like DK, you said, Derek Kellogg from his UMass days, another guy. So this league is very, very good. A lot of people, and I'm hoping that we can get some more national exposure. You know, the playing game a few years ago helped us, the FDU, the win that we beat Prairie View. We were down 13 in the first half, and we came back and won the game. Great game, and it gave us a lot of attention. So we need more wins like that in the league, in the NCAA tournament, to get more eyes on us. But I think this league is really special. It's a hidden gem. It's a lot of fun. And again, like, if you like guard play and perimeter quickness, this is a league for you.
And Coach, coming up here in June, here you're gonna have guys back on campus. Hopefully, they'll do workouts for you. Being your first year there, how's it gonna be for you to get on the court? Your guys, see what you have, evaluate the young men, get them stronger, and give them some player development skills and work development going, so you can get them ready for October when everything tips off again.
Yeah, so we're gonna do ours a little different. So when I got the job, we have four guys on the team. Seven guys in the portal, and we only used 11 scholarships last year. So I'm trying to re-recruit three of the guys back, and then I'm also trying to get, you know, six guys to come. We're getting close to having three commitments. I think that's going to happen, maybe a fourth one in the next couple of days. And then we'll probably still have two or three more scholarships. So with those two or three more scholarships, we're going to probably go into July with those, looking at different players. But to answer your question, all our guys are going to do virtual classes in June, July, August. We're going to come back to school when the football team come back, and we're going to go through a three-week, four-week mini camp. So during that time, my workouts there, I'm going to try and get guys working out and getting them acclimated to how we're going to defend our ball screen coverage, transition defense, and then work on our offense. So we'll do that in that little 3-4 week mini camp thing that we have right before we start school. And then once we start school, it's on. We'll be right at it full speed.
No doubt. I got the last two for you, Coach. This, man, what is your favorite food spot in ATL when you come down here?
Ooh, favorite food spot. Aunt Kizzy's is down there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're taking a walk? Yeah. My brother took me down there a couple of times. Yeah, I like that. He kind of takes me all over. I've been in so many different places. I only go maybe once, twice a year. But I want to say Aunt Kizzy's. And I go to the one in L.A. a lot, too. So that's my favorite food spot.
And final one for you, this man. What has been your favorite moment in your basketball career? Whether it be playing or
favorite
coaching?
Moment?
Yeah, playing
yeah,
or playing or coaching.
And I've had, 21 years, had a lot of good moments playing, coaching. Even high school, we won a state, we won a championship, our conference championship with a half court heave at the buzzer to win that game. That was crazy. I said to Herendo all the time, one of my favorite times in college is down 13 in that play-in game versus Prairie View and coming back to win that game. I've coached in the Final Four. In the Sweet 16, we played Washington with Brandon Roy, and we had a kid on our team, Rashad Anderson, make a three late to put us up to win that game. Great game. That was a knockdown, drag-out fight. I was in the six overtime game with Syracuse.
I remember that.
We lost that game. But I remember after that game, Coach Calhoun coming in and saying, everybody was down. We were down as coaches because we thought we lost the number one seed for the NCAA tournament. We still got it. And but Coach said, hey, people are going to talk to you guys for years about this game. And every year for the Big East tournament, I get a call from somebody about that game. So, I mean, there's a lot of special moments. Even in China, we won a game in China. We got back on the plane. We came back. It was like 2,500 fans at the airport waiting for us to celebrate. So, it's been a lot of – it's hard to pinpoint one of them. But I would say my first year playing in Europe, I didn't go to the championship game. And the semifinal game to get to the championship, I had one of my best games as a player. So – I think maybe 25 points and 11 rebounds, something like a lot of assists. But I played in one of my best games. I felt like I was the best game I've ever played as a player. So that's probably one of my best games.
No doubt. But, Coach, we're definitely going to support you and your team, man. I'll try to give you brothers a chance on the show, man, to come and talk about your program and give you a platform. So, Coach, if they want to come on this show, it's open to you. I don't care. Just let me know. It's done.
All right, man. Hey, you get my boy Herendo up there. I definitely got to come up. I got to beat him on there.
Yeah, you got to. Hey, he called the show, man. It's about 40-minute conversation.
Exactly.
Hey, thank God I don't have commercials to worry about. Thank God for that. No hard outs.
Right. He's classic.
Hey, Coach, you be good. Talk to you real soon, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.